Rock 102, Springfield's Classic Rock. It's 534. And the Red Hot Chili Peppers on Rock 102.
And they say the rest of the week is going to be considerably warmer than normal. Maybe some showers thrown in here and there. Cloudy today with a slight chance of showers and a high of 68. Tomorrow, morning showers, then partly cloudy with a high of 71. Thursday would be, I don't think I've ever said this, the pick of the week.
The pick of the week?
That's what a lot of the weather people say, pick of the week. That means the best day of the week, but they say pick of the week.
That's days away from now, though. You know how that goes.
2 days.
Two days. Yeah, they've had that wrong. Remember, there was a tornado they didn't expect 2 days from when it happened. And look what happened.
They expected it 2 days before.
That's what I mean. They didn't. They didn't expect that. Kind of dusted up and surprised us all. So there's all of that. It's 5:35 in Rock 102.
The Baxter O'Brien podcast is sponsored by TNT Expert Tree Service in South Hadley.
Rock 102, Springfield's Classic Rock. It's 5:51 and Guns N' Roses on Rock 102.
Well, just a little patience and it'll be a nice day.
Well, you said Thursday is the pick of the week, right?
Thursday, yes. Right. Pick of the week. Let me see. I mean, look ahead. I believe yesterday they were saying it was going to be 73, and now they are saying 72.
Pick of the week, Woody Willard Scott. Now,
this is what the young kids say.
We're gonna be doing like birthdays for people over the age of 100 soon.
Nope, it's the only day that does not have any clouds or rain in it at all. Just a beautiful day, October 22nd.
Hollywood Trash is brought to you by Noonan Energy, serving Western Massachusetts for over 125 years at noonanenergy.com. How about some Hollywood Trash? Yeah. Steve Nagel,
here's another sad story. Jeff Bridges says he's been diagnosed with lymphoma, but, quote, although it is a serious disease, the prognosis is good. He said he's starting treatment and will keep everybody posted on his recovery.
How old is he now?
He's 71.
71.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or he'll be 71 in December. So, lymphoma cancer is part of the immune system, and there are several types. It's unclear which one he was diagnosed with.
Ah.
But that sucks.
Yes, it does.
I like
it
him.
It does suck.
I always liked him as an actor.
Well, what other choices were there?
What do you mean?
Well, you liked him as an actor.
Was he a good carpenter?
I liked him as a dancer.
He was a good singer. I saw him in a Tap number, I believe, with Gregory Hines.
Right.
I believe he was in Tap.
Right.
With Gregory Hines.
He was also a very good bowler.
Yes, he was a very good bowler.
As long as you don't F with the Jesus,
that's
you're
right.
Doing all right.
A tweet went viral for the worst Hollywood Chris, with the choices being Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans, Chris Pratt, and Chris Pine.
Have we run out of lists?
The respondents overwhelmingly voted out Chris Pratt.
Don't know who he is.
Oh, I'm sure if you looked it up, you'd know exactly who he is.
The name sounds a little familiar, but probably not.
He's an American actor. He's an actor.
Okay.
So, well, you knew that.
I think they all are.
Rosie O'Donnell says that when she visited Martha Stewart in prison, Martha told her that the thing she missed the most was the flavor of lemon.
They don't have like lemon in prison?
No, I guess they don't.
And did Rosie say, well, here, I got a little lemon taste for you?
I cleaned with Fabuloso this morning. speaking of which, did you see the John Oliver had a compilation one time about with Martha Stewart getting drunk on her show?
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
Yes,
where
I did.
She's constantly drinking wine and booze and all kinds of cocktails at like 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
And you know what? Good for her.
Why not?
Well, that's what Kathy Lee Gifford and Hoda Kotb used to do when they had that third or fourth or 12th hour today.
15th, I believe.
Yeah, I believe it was. By the time they came on, it was 7 p.m., so it was okay to drink.
Well, they didn't come on that late, but for some people, the idea of drinking like around 11 o'clock in the morning is a bit much. I know you're not a big fan of it.
No, actually not.
I kind of like it. Kind of knocks off the edge and makes me forget about the day.
Yeah, but the problem is you start day drinking and then all of a sudden, then it wears off. And then all of a sudden you got a like an afternoon hangover.
Right. You're hungover by 3 o'clock nobody. And you got to wait another hour to start again.
And I hate to have to feel awful twice in a day.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to have to start drinking again just to make yourself feel better.
I prefer the 5:55 a.m. drinking.
This whole alcoholism thing is just not not working out, you know?
Well, it works.
You got to perfect it, Steve.
It sounds good. It may be almost like too much of a simplification, but it works until it stops, if that makes sense. Those first few days of alcoholism are wonderful. It's the last few where you say, okay, maybe this has outgrown its usefulness.
Where your stomach is so big from the cirrhosis of the liver
and
ascites and all that stuff that you choke on own vomit.
If you work it out right, it's the first few years and the last few years. You just got to pace yourself.
I like the way you think. You're very optimistic. I never knew that about you.
He hides it well.
Carol Baskin from Tiger King is bisexual. She says, quote, "Even though I've never had a wife, I could just as easily have a wife as a husband as far as the way I feel about us. I think we are all one."
Would she throw a woman into the pit of tigers after killing him?
Probably.
Good way to get rid of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Would she let the tigers eat her first?
I bet you she would.
It sounds like she wouldn't.
Grab that tiger by the tail. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Fox broadcasters Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were caught mocking a pregame military flyover on Sunday, saying it was a waste of taxpayer money. But the military has previously said the taxpayers incur no additional cost and that flyovers are used to keep pilots sharp.
Well, that may be true, but if you're flying over either an empty stadium or a stadium with only 7,000 people, it's really not that big of a deal.
I love when they fly over the domes.
Sometimes
completely enclosed. Yeah, they do. Completely enclosed. Nobody sees it but the cameras and the people outside.
You know, I'm not a big fan of Joe Buck, but he's kind of right.
Well, but they're kind of right with the reasoning, too. I mean, you know, it's part of flight training. The more hours pilots get in, the more they stay qualified and certified and things like that. And this is part of their hours.
But they got all week to do that. They don't have to do it on a Sunday afternoon.
But who pays for that?
We all pay for that.
It's in the military budget.
So the taxpayers do pay for it.
Of course.
Well, the military is paid for by taxpayers. I mean, you know, if you want to whittle it down to every move they make, do we pay for them to go to the bathroom? Do we pay for them to sleep? Yeah, we pay for all that. But again, this is flight training. This is hours in the air. So
look, I'm just trying to play the devil's advocate over here.
No, trying to play the Joe Buck advocate.
Well, you got 24 hours in a day. You don't need to fly over a partially empty stadium.
Someone studied the heart rates of people watching dozens of horror movies because, you know, why not put that to scientific use? And they determined that Sinister from 2012 is the scariest horror movie of all time. It is followed by Insidious and The Conjuring. I've never seen any of those movies.
No.
I've never heard of any of those movies.
I've heard of them. I've just never seen them.
I've definitely never heard of the number one. What was it?
Insidious?
Sinister.
Sinister.
Sinister. Never heard of that.
And The Conjuring. Apple has launched Apple Music TV, a 24-hour live stream of music videos, live shows, chart countdowns, and other events, kind of like MTV before Teen Mom and Jersey Shore came along and ruined that.
And this is going to cost me how much per month?
It's part of your Apple Music subscription.
Okay.
That's not bad.
No, not too bad.
I don't really have the desire to watch music videos anymore, though.
No, I don't got time for that.
And Kim Kardashian, guess what she's doing?
Nope.
She's making face masks and face coverings.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
She must have something to say.
Oh, my God. The last time I had my face covered was when Ray J gave me the Immaculate Chinception and that sex tape you can purchase on YouPorn for $39.95.
Easy for her to say.
Yeah.
You ever have the Immaculate Chinception? Like,
what's that? Immaculate what now?
Sorry, there's something in my mouth.
Yeah. Caitlin.
I never got that done and dirty with your mother, Chris Kim, but I wanted to give her a big serving of zipper sausage.
Mm-hmm.
Had her play with the bald-headed mouse.
Yeah, what are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say is she had the bearded warhammer and the flappy crack.
Okay. And Kanye?
I want bearded warhammer. Where can I get one of them? I want to put my bearded warhammer in a flappy crack as well. Maybe a side of that Zippa sausage to go along with it.
Yeah, where would you store that stuff?
Oh, we can get takeout and drive it around to my ranch and my Raptor out and
Kanye.
Such an injustice, and that's your Hollywood T-Rash Rock. What I do? Ah.
Join Duncan in treating, not tricking, this year with limited time.
And now, Bax's View from the Couch, brought to you by Rocky's Ace Hardware, Outdoor Power Headquarters, Steel, Ego, and Craftsman, Rocky's Outdoor Power Trifecta.
Hey, good morning, sports fans. How the heck are you? Listen, I like sports as much as the next guy, and although the state of Massachusetts has largely prevented us from exhibiting our love of sports in a live environment, at least we know how to conduct ourselves like rational human beings. Sure. We may take our hatred out at officials or opposing players by using offensive language and hurtful insults, but when they finally open the gates at Fenway or at Gillette Stadium, the last place you'll find me on is the receiving end of a fist-wielding Donnybrook. However, as many of you know, there is perhaps nothing worse than a Philadelphia sports fan. The Philadelphia sports fan is a different end of the human spectrum. He cares not for diplomatic solutions or discourse. He cannot be bothered with the rational thought of sitting in silence. Whether it be with the Eagles, the Sixers, the Flyers, or the Phillies, the Philadelphia sports fan is typically a drunken buffoon who will take no heed in pulling his knuckles off the ground and striking somebody at will. For example, on Sunday, in their very first game in which they allowed fans to return to Lincoln Financial Field, a fistfight occurred between socially distanced fans as the Eagles were getting hammered by the Baltimore Ravens 30-28. According to the viral video of the incident, a clearly drunken Eagles fan stepped over three or four rows of empty seats and began throwing punches at another Eagles fan who happened to be sitting at least 18 feet away. Until they were separated from other socially distanced fans who had to violate social distance regulations in an effort to end the fight. In other words, out of the 7,500 people that were allowed to sit in the stadium on Sunday, that typically seats 69,000 people, these two idiots were able to find each other so they could beat each other in the face. Look, if I were one of 7,000 people sitting in a largely empty stadium, I would do my best not to start acting up and causing a ruckus. Fistfights are not COVID-19 compliant activities, and since you were lucky enough to even get tickets to this game, perhaps that alone should have been enough to guide you towards a period of decency and good behavior, and for most people, that probably would have been enough. But for the Philadelphia sports fan, you're almost asking for too much. But hey, enough of my yapping. Sports brought to you by Rocky's Ace Hardware. What are the two most essential power tools? A circular saw and a cordless drill. If you want a home, you need both of them. Go to Rocky's Power Tool Headquarters for Milwaukee, DeWalt, and Craftsman. Rocky's Power Tool Trifecta. Good people, rock solid service at every Rocky's Ace Hardware. I'm Bax. That's my view from the couch. 12. With Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102.
Not too bad. Lots of clouds today. Mainly dry, though. With a shower here and there, possible. But a high in the upper 60s. It is 53 now in downtown Springfield.
Let's see. Yeah, we don't have any guests today. This is one of those days where it's really all up to us to have conversations about things.
Conversations. Mm. We can have conversations. We can easily have conversations.
We can talk
about anything.
Throw something at me. I'm sure I could respond with something absolutely profound.
Well, I don't know about that, but I kind of mentioned this yesterday. It's in Mass Live this morning. The counselors here in Chicopee are airing their complaints to the police. They had a meeting last night. They told the cops, listen, we're tired of the motorcycles. We're tired of the speeding. We're tired of the noise. And we want something done about it. You got children walking to school now with in-person classes starting up slowly. You got out-of-control motorcycles being the top complaint. Individual counselors talking about, I've got complaints regarding the racetracks on Springfield Street and Fairview Avenue, racing meaning the racing of motorcycles. Another counselor saying every night between 6 and 8, Meadow and Chicopee Streets, apparent that they're speeding just by the sounds of the engines. This counselor is so good, he can determine that they're speeding just by the sound of the engine. Cops usually have to use radar guns to determine speeding, but this counselor... Yeah, man, they should just have him standing out there.
Well, I mean, you can clearly understand the sound of miles per hour. I mean, a lot of people can do that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But
well, if it starts from one ear and ends at another ear in a short period of time, one can only assume that if it's a 25-mile-an-hour zone, they may be going too fast.
Or your ears are too close to each other.
That could be too.
The police chief points out that this is no different than a lot of other cities that have these motorcycle issues. Not just the motorcyclists, but the bicyclists as well. And the problem is, you know, you can't really, if you try to stop them, they know you can't chase them. And you can't chase them because if, God forbid, someone gets in a crash, they're going to blame the police. But it's so bad. Actually, the deputy chief in Chicopee says he was in a marked cruiser once when a motorcyclist popped a wheelie, gave him the finger, and then sped off. Popped a wheelie, gave the cop the finger, and then took off.
Well, what did the cop do to deserve that?
Clearly nothing. And then, obviously, once again, you can't go chasing them. Then the other problem with this is, and this is pointed out by the police chief, is a lack of manpower. Department's already down to 95 officers instead of the 120 that they had before the pandemic hit. There's a supervisor missing. Get a load of this. You want to do this job? Would you want to be a cop?
Me?
Yeah.
Not in your wildest imaginations.
What if it paid really, really well?
No.
See, I'd think about it. If it paid really, well, really well.
But you've always had this fantasy of being a cop,
mm-hmm.
even when you were a cop. I mean, you wanted to start, you know, busting scales and, you know, tooing people up. You know, I've never, ever had that compulsion to be a cop under any circumstances. So it could pay $1 million and I'd have to think twice.
It doesn't pay $1 million. In fact, in Chicopee, it starts at under $21 an hour. Less than $21 an hour. Lower than most communities with smaller populations. So imagine how difficult it is to get either people to want to be Chicopee cops or to keep Chicopee cops making $21 an hour from leaving to go to other departments that pay more. It's also difficult to get new officers to go into the academy. And apparently a lot of them have been dropping out before they graduate. Because they realize, holy crap, I've been here for 18 weeks at $21 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't making nothing here. So
yeah, I mean, really, the only way to make money in police work is by accumulating gobs of overtime or becoming a state police officer in Massachusetts.
Yeah, exactly. And as a matter of fact, usually you can't even work details for your year of probation. I believe that's been changed in Chicopee, so at least the men and women can make a little bit more money. But $21 an hour, let me just figure that one out.
It's $43,680 a year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, I mean, it's decent money if you're, you know, say, like, just working at, like, a Friendly's washing dishes. But,
yeah,
you know, when you get get that kind of disrespect and, you know, people are shooting at you and hollering terrible names at you, again, there's no amount of money that would motivate me to be a cop.
Yeah. Plus,
no offense to cops. It's just me. It's a personal preference.
And then don't forget the pandemic. Right now, there are currently 5 officers out of work with COVID-19. And as far as, you know, here's the city council going, well, you guys don't give any tickets out. They gave out 10,000 tickets last year. 10,000.
Well, that was last year. What are they doing this year?
Well, this year so far it's 10. But again, you've got the COVID.
Yeah, but those 5 guys were the ones who were the heaviest ticketers.
Exactly. It was 5 guys who each gave out 1,000 tickets.
5 guys for tickets and fines.
Yeah, that's it. So it's a little bit ridiculous looking at all the different.
The thing is, though, I mean, and we've talked about this whole bicycle and, you know, dirt bike situation. I understand what the cops are saying is like, listen, there's nothing we can do. We can't chase these guys down. But on the other hand, if I'm an everyday citizen of a town, whether it's Chicopee or Holyoke or Springfield or anywhere else, and we have that problem in our town, you know, the visual of this is that they're just getting away with it and the cops are not doing anything. So you're basically allowing this activity to happen when clearly it's a dangerous activity. I'm not saying that the cops are wrong here, but, you know, something needs to be done and no one has figured out a solution.
Well, that's why I've suggested the opportunity for private citizens to take matters into their own hands, whether it be putting sticks in the spokes
yes.
of the bikes as they go by, or stringing piano wire, let's say.
I'm sure the police department in your town of Chicopee would be all too happy to know that there's more vigilantism going on in the city than ever before, thanks to you.
The city councilors don't have a problem with it, probably.
No, I bet if I go to the
city council, they would go, we're not crazy about the idea, but we could do kind of like the piano wire thing.
No, I'm going to guess they do have a problem with vigilantism, and they would probably prefer to see the cops handle this.
Yeah, that's probably what they would say in public.
But even in private, I think they'd rather have the cops do this than everyday citizens.
You know, I think you'd get the wink, wink kind of thing. No, we don't want you using piano wire. Wink, wink.
I don't know a city or town in all of America that is going to adopt the piano wire protocol for taking care of this problem. I don't know if that happens anywhere.
I'm sure there are major cities and towns where piano wire is the preferred method.
I don't see piano wire. I don't see broken glass. I don't even see the cartoon where they like dump a bunch of motor oil out of the back of their car so that the bikes could slip around and everything. I don't know what cartoon that was.
James Bondish as well. Maybe that's what the cops need. Instead of chasing the motorcycles, you get in front of the motorcycles. And then you release oil from the back of the car.
And then thumbtacks.
Yes. Yeah. And then, of course, a giant net.
That would be very helpful, except there are already cars on the road at the time, so that might be bad for the cars. But
once the motorcycles hit the oil, and then they go into the net. And the net, by the way, is a self-tying net. Like, as soon as the pressure is on the net, it ties itself. And then all you have to do is take a hook from the back of the police cruiser. This is all very cartoon-like, but you know what? If it worked for the cartoons, it could work for real people. Then you pull the net to the police station.
Yeah, and whenever I brought up trapdoor technology, all of a sudden, I'm the idiot in the room.
I mean, trapdoor technology has come a long way, but I believe it's still in its infancy.
Listen, I every time I see these guys, and I told you, it was like a week or two ago, I'm on Allen Street, and where it connects to Bicentennial Highway.
Mm-hmm.
And there had to be like six hoodlums on these dirt bikes, you know, weaving in and out of traffic, like right across from the Wendy's up to that light. And you know, they're ignoring the light. They're all over the place. They're popping wheelies.
Didn't you wish you had piano wire at that moment?
No, because even if I had piano wire, I would have had to affix it to the other side of the street to really make it worth it. What would have worked better if I just opened my car door and brained the guy while he tried passing me?
Well, talk to the city council.
That's all I need to do. Let me go find a city council that's willing to listen to reason.
Go to the next meeting.
It's 6:23 at Rock 102.
If finding a high impact hike.
6:25 with Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102.
You know, it's not always easy to find a joke.
Well, no, not when you got you got a full 24 hours to find the right one. It's
many
jokes out there.
They change so often.
I know. I mean, there's a finite number of funny jokes out there.
Exactly. Huh. And in the one source that I go to find them, because I've stopped using, you know what? I'm going to go back to my book. I've used the book for a while, but I haven't used the book in a while. On the other hand, the lighting in here is not that great anymore.
Is there a reason you didn't, you haven't been to the book in a while? Is it because most of those jokes are old and not that funny?
Yeah, I'm not a big, I'm not a big book fan.
Yeah, and reading jokes, is really, come on.
It's such a tasking part of the job.
Who wants to laugh?
Well, I don't know, but you know what? Let's try it.
Tell me what's funny.
It's Bax and O'Brien's joke of the day.
Well, it's nice to find a fellow with a keen sense of humor.
On Rock 102.
Joke of the day brought to you by Gale Toyota. See Crazy Jay today to sell your car or truck online at GaleToyota.com.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
Springfield's classic rock.
A man goes to court to get a divorce.
Yes.
And the judge says, now, sir, why do you want this divorce? And the man says, well, because I live in a two-story house. And the judge goes, well, that's not really much of a reason to want to leave your wife. And the guy goes, oh, sure it is. Sure it is. He says, because whenever I want some action, she has two stories. Either she's got a headache or it's the wrong time of the month.
It's a two-story
house, and she's got two reasons, and he wants a divorce. Imagine if I'd put some time into it.
Booyah!
Bax
and O'Brien, Rock 102. It's time for news brought to you by Serview Locksmith. They got a key for that. Here's local radio icon and first responder Steve Nagel.
Benvenidos, Quarantinos.
Muchos gracias, Premier Respondedor.
Sí, señor.
One man is dead in a shooting on Monday afternoon on Acushnet Avenue in Springfield South End. Police spokesman Ryan Walsh confirmed that an adult man was taken to the hospital following the 12:30 p.m. shooting, and he later died. The death is being considered a homicide. Police were called to the scene for a reported shooting. They found a man suffering from a critical gunshot wound, and he was rushed to the hospital by ambulance. At the scene, a vehicle was seen leaving the tree belt of a house, and the vehicle had heavy front-end damage, and a large hole is visible in the driver's side window.
Leaving the tree belt?
Was seen on the tree belt of the house. The vehicle had heavy front-end damage, and a large hole is visible in the driver's side window. Up the street from the car, a large amount of debris is lying in the road. Police put up crime scene tape several hundred feet from the street. Walsh said the police homicide unit is investigating, and no other details have been released. Fire at Bondi's Island Landfill is officially out.
Thank goodness.
Hundreds of firefighters from five different counties in the state spent 5 days pouring water on the flames.
Five different counties?
Yeah.
Man.
By Sunday, the fire was between 90 and 95% contained. A smaller crew of about 25 firefighters remained at the site overnight to extinguish any flare-ups. More firefighters returned Monday to ensure it was no longer smoldering.
I mean, you hear him talk all the time about the four western counties. Yeah, I'm watching 40 right now, or Western Mass News. Four western counties are the ones they're always referring to. Hamden, Hampshire, Franklin, and Berkshire. I wonder what that fifth county who had to send a fire truck.
Worcester, maybe?
Actually, I think it was Connecticut.
You might be right about that.
Yeah. I thought it was Connecticut.
Now, I know like a day or two ago, they believed this was like an accidental situation.
They said spontaneous combustion, which is what I had predicted.
Yeah, but I heard that it was like accidental. So what is that? What's the spontaneous combustion?
There really is no difference.
See, when I hear accident, it sounds to me like not something that just happened spontaneously, but that someone made a mistake. And boom, all of a sudden you got things blowing up.
We heard from somebody last week that they take the hot ash from the burn plant and they bury that.
Mm-hmm. So, in a hole, right? The big ash hole?
A big ash hole. You got to go around the rim of the ash hole, though, in order to put the ash inside the hole.
Whose job is that, though?
That's
the guy who's got to go around the rim.
Yeah, I believe that's right. Rusty, the sheriff's badge.
Right.
Yeah.
Oof. Anyway, the fire's out.
It's nothing worse than when you got an ash hole that's burning.
Yeah.
Well, you got to
for 5 days.
You got to wet the ash hole.
Well, I don't know.
It's got to be
something you can apply to it.
Two passengers on what police described as a party bus were arrested Saturday after one allegedly shot at parked cars and another allegedly elbowed an officer as he ran from the vehicle. Springfield police.
It's not the same as the bang bus.
No. Well, the bang bang bus because.
Right.
shots fired.
Yeah. Springfield police arrested 23-year-old Marquan Moriarty of Montgomery Street late Saturday, charging him with shooting a gun at parked cars on State and Myrtle Streets from the bus. According to Springfield police spokesman Ryan Walsh, said, my best friend's sister's boyfriend's girlfriend heard from this guy who's dating this girl that saw a party bus shoot some gunshots out of it last night. I guess it's pretty serious.
Okay, Marquand, one more party that I wasn't invited to. What's going on over here?
Reports of vehicles were struck by gunfire. Witnesses told police the shots came from the party bus that had just rolled by. A party bus, by the way, here's the description of what a party bus is. You ready?
Please.
Party bus is a chauffeured minibus that acts as a kind of nightclub on wheels. They are generally stocked with a bar and other amenities, allowing patrons to party without risking drinking and driving.
Is there anyone
Actual party bus.
I was going to say, was there anybody who might not have been able to figure that out on their own?
Well,
it's not like there's going to be like a Fudgy the Whale ice cream cake.
Well,
on board.
Somebody probably said, define party bus.
Yes, what do you mean by, because again, they might have been thinking more along the lines of bang bus.
I don't, that's in itself is a party, but I don't know if it necessarily distinguishes itself apart from a party bus. I mean, one man's party is another man's
bang.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
According to Walsh, the bus was located a short time later on Locust Street, and Moriarty matched the description of the shooter. Police found a gun on the bus, and Moriarty was found with ammunition in his pockets. He was charged with various weapons charges, including possession of a loaded firearm without a license, discharging a firearm within 500 feet of a dwelling, resisting arrests, 2 counts of malicious damage to a motor vehicle, and being the biggest party pooper around.
Out that's the guy who came onto the party bus with you and he ruined it for all the rest of us.
Yeah. It only takes one guy to ruin a party.
He was also charged with assault and battery after he reportedly spit on another prisoner while being booked at the police station.
Oh, that's unsightly.
He just keeps adding them up.
Yeah, this guy is the last person you want to invite to a party.
A second patron on the bus, 21-year-old Antonio.
That's patron.
Yeah, well,
they're probably drinking patron.
Yeah. 21-year-old Antonio Vega was also arrested. Walsh said he exited the bus.
Huggy Bear?
No, that's Antonio Fargas, but you're very close.
Walsh said he exited the bus, elbowed an officer, and attempted to run away. He's charged with assault battery on a police officer and other charges.
I thought that was Huggy Bear's name.
No. It was
close,
Antonio Fargas. Very close.
Very close.
Yeah, I think you're right, Steve. I think this is at this point, socially, everyone's blocking his calls. He's never going to get invited to another party. This is the behavior he's going to show at a nice gathering of friends.
Hey, guys, can I come on the next party bus? You remember what happened last time you were on the party bus?
No, blacked out for 5 straight days.
We were drinking all that Patron.
Nope, still don't remember.
We were Patrons on the bus.
I don't remember that, man.
Well, you're not allowed on the party bus.
Yeah, unless we pat you down.
Yeah. The Longmeadow police are investigating after the catalytic converter was stolen off of 2 of the same model cars in town. According to the Longmeadow Police Department, the catalytic converter was stolen off 2 different 2007 Toyota Prius vehicles in Longmeadow while parked in the owner's driveway. 2007 Prius? Did you a favor. The police are checking local scrap metal yards for any recent transactions.
I can't believe you'd even be able to find two 2007 Priuses in the same town out in their driveways.
Yeah.
This was 2 different properties? It wasn't like a husband and wife buying his and her Priuses?
It doesn't say how far away the cars were. Maybe they were a pair of Priuses. Who knows? Police are asking residents to park vehicles in their garage or in a well-lit area. If you see or hear anything suspicious, you're asked to contact the Longmeadow Police.
I've already heard something suspicious.
What?
2007 Priuses in the driveways of people in Longmeadow.
Well, it's that shady area near the Enfield line.
Yeah, even they wouldn't be seen with a 2007 Prius.
Although I can see someone driving in a very nice Avalon, the car to get around town.
So wait a minute. These Priuses have Cadillacs attached to them? I don't understand.
Catalytic converters. So they don't turn them into Cadillacs.
It's not like a transformer where it turns into a Cadillac?
No.
I thought that's what converter meant.
It's a Prius that turns into a scrap heap.
Don't they all at some point?
Yeah. You would think it would be well before it was 13 years old. 13 years old.
as I said, the police were checking with local scrap metal yards. I, in my experience with and anybody who's ever told me about their experience about looking at a scrap metal yard for cooperation from them, they don't really cooperate.
Well, you know, a lot of times, like pawn shops, there are laws that force them to cooperate, or they can be shut down.
By the way, it should be pointed out that there are no scrap metal yards in Long Meadow unless your metal is silver and gold.
No, there's not.
I think
that.
They allow in some sapphire.
Well, that's a gemstone. That's not a metal. Yeah. Really.
I just remember somebody telling me one time about how they were working on a construction job that had manhole covers. Brand new, spanking new manhole covers.
Mm-hmm.
And like maybe five of them were taken by somebody, and they went to the scrapyard, and the scrapyard did in fact take them. And the scrapyard metal owner was like, "Well, I didn't know they were stolen."
Yeah.
Five brand new manhole covers.
Right. With the town of written on them.
Still in their packaging.
District court judge in Lynn heard from the First Lady of the Commonwealth Monday about an incident that took place at her home in September. A man has been ordered to stay away from Governor Baker's home in Swampscott after attending a protest at the residence and allegedly leaving used needles behind. Domingos De Rosa, a civil rights activist and city council candidate, has allegedly been picking up needles along Boston's Methadone Mile and bringing them to the governor's home. According to the First Lady Lauren Baker, the protest De Rosa attended turned incredibly frightening when demonstrators started getting closer and closer to the home. In court on Monday, Lauren Baker said, quote, "Obviously, I'm afraid if it's going to cause some sort of physical harm to me and my family." This is the second incident at the Baker residence within a month. Just 2 weeks ago, a man entered the governor's home while his wife and daughter were inside. The governor didn't talk much about the incident except to say that everyone is safe.
Yeah, I don't remember us saying that on the air. I remember reading it in the story later in the day, you know, because we talked about, doesn't the governor have a state police detail around the house? I didn't realize that his wife and daughter were home and in the house at the time. And the guy, I forget what it was that he was carrying. I think it was a piece of paper or some kind of a folder with him.
It was like documents or something.
Yeah.
And he said that...
He said, "Charlie told me to bring these," or something like that. Mm-hmm. He was claiming that the governor had, in fact, invited him.
Yeah, that's...
Listen, we've been friendly with the governor. We've never been invited to his house.
No, certainly not to come over the house when he's not home, but his wife and daughter are.
Well, I mean, if nobody was home, then why not, right?
Well, that would be a different story.
Yeah, we could have a party there, and he would never know.
Well, he'd probably figure it out when he got home and realized all the dip was gone.
So this Rock 102 Baxton O'Brien mask is on the floor.
Oh, man, and it's too small for my face.
Well, at least they were social distancing. Soap placed in a water fountain caused Westfield Park to fill up with suds on Monday, and this is not the first time this has happened. Photos shared on social media showed mounds of suds filling the stairwells and grassy areas at Half Mile Falls State Park near the Great River Bridge. I think this is so funny.
Yeah,
I laugh whenever I see somebody do something like this.
It's been a long while, but years ago, people were doing that in the fountain at Court Square. Remember that, John?
I believe that was those were the homeless people taking bubble baths.
I believe it was them and a box of Mr. Bubble, and they were going to town in the bath.
Yeah.
Pete Gorlizek of the Westfield Parks and Recreation Department said that this is the second time something like this has happened at the park, and it is believed to have been a prank. She noted that there are security cameras posted in the area. The fountain has been turned off and drained while everything is cleaned up at the park. Meanwhile, Westfield Mayor Don Humison said that while he doesn't doubt that the intention may have been good, clean fun, the apparent prank nevertheless comes at a cost for the city. He noted that especially during the pandemic, they're operating with limited resources, so any additional cost for cleanup or potential damage to the fountain is not helpful. How much does it cost for somebody to go shut the water off?
Well, but they said they had to drain it and clean it, but it's bubbles. It's soap.
It'll eventually, won't it eventually just dissipate?
Well, yeah, but there's soap scum, and unless it's at least rinsed off, it's going to be a slippery area.
Or it probably gets into the mechanism of it.
You ever see bubbles in a hot tub? That's actually caused from the soap that's on your clothes that doesn't come off in the washing machine.
Why are you wearing clothes in a hot tub?
Well, you wear a bathing suit, don't you?
Do you?
Do you, Steve?
I do.
Yeah.
I think you're supposed to be steeping au naturel.
I guess so.
But as naked.
But I always found this prank to be hilarious.
It does sound funny. Yeah. Unfortunately, they had no video. They said I saw it on 22, and they were like, by the time the 22 news cameras got there, you know, it looked like March. Bits of snow here and there.
No security cameras or anything?
Yeah, they do have security cameras. You said it in the story, but they won't let you see those.
Nah, that's too bad.
Yeah, but it's just photos. They don't have... I didn't say anything about security cameras.
Yeah, you did. You said there were surveillance cameras all over the place. You said that right in the story.
I don't have that written anywhere in the story.
You said it.
I said photos shared on social media. I didn't say anything about surveillance cameras. There's nothing in this story about surveillance cameras.
I don't know.
Are you hallucinating again?
You want me to read the whole story again?
No, I do not.
I kind of do.
Well, because I just want to prove to you that I'm not lying to you.
Steve, it's not necessary to prove it.
Would you like me?
It's not there.
Would you like me to copy and paste it and send it to you via email?
I don't need that either. No.
What about my AOL account?
Can you, well, now you've hit on. Yes. Yes, I do want it from the AOL.
Let's see. Where are we going? Da-da-da-da-da. The state announced that jury trials will begin again next month in Massachusetts amid the pandemic. You know, I got a summons for middle of November. To go to jury duty.
Really?
Come on.
Well, first of all, I know they're going to start, but I thought they already re-delayed it.
Extended to November 9th. It was originally said to begin on October 23rd to have the full jury trials back in order, but now it's been extended to November 9th. They've been doing 6-person jury trials right now.
So that, first of all, that should seemingly push you back, too.
Well, no, because it's November 16th or 17th that I have to go, and November 9th is the day that it supposedly starts all over again.
So still have to report, you'd still have to report, but probably be sent home because of the lower numbers, right?
I would think, though, that if it was supposed to start on a date in October and they moved it to November, then they're going to have to move every group that was supposed to report each week into the next week.
I just wanted the day off from work.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know why you shouldn't take it.
I think I'm going to, because I have the paper that says I got jury duty.
I don't know how it's fair to have a 6-person jury.
It's not, and the thing is, I mean, if you're convicted by a 6-person jury, don't you think an appeals attorney, appellate attorney would say, well, it's an unfair trial?
Well, I mean, there must be, you know, there must be an allowance made for the jury to be reduced from 12 to 6 so that not every single convicted person automatically has grounds for an appeal. But, you know, it's like all this talk about the Democrats changing the number of justices on the Supreme Court. And I've heard it said a couple of times of the number that it could be changed to. And in some of the, and they've been different numbers. I've heard 11, I've heard 13, but I've also heard even numbers, like 12 or 14.
You would need the uneven number.
You would think so, yes. But they have suggested, and I believe in the past at one time, there was an even number. But yeah, that doesn't make sense. Although a jury of 12... But again, you're not looking for a majority. You're looking for it to be unanimous.
Well, I know what I'm going to do.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to serve in November. I'm going to serve in November. I tell your girl I'll be serving in November. January, February, March, April, May. I see you crying, but girl, I can't stay. I'll be serving in November. And give a kiss to my mother.
There you go. We'll wait for that.
There's a 38-year-old man who lives in a mobile home in Benton County, Washington, and on Saturday morning he got upset at a family of raccoons who were living under his trailer. So he went to scare them away, but somehow in the process he knocked over a lit candle and set the entire trailer on fire.
Oh, Jesus.
Bet it scared the raccoons away, though.
It did. No one was hurt, and the trailer was completely destroyed.
But the raccoons relocated.
They had to have.
Yeah, there's a good news and bad news thing here.
So, right. Mission accomplished? I would say so.
Yeah, but if you don't have a trailer, then, you know, they've also moved you away, too. Unless, of course, you got a trailer.
And wouldn't it be ironic if you found a new place, and it's the same place the raccoons went to?
Like... You open it, you go, you move into an apartment.
Yeah.
And you walk in, you're like, hey, what's all that racket downstairs going on there? And you like knock on the door. Excuse me, could you turn it down? All of a sudden, the door opens. It's the very raccoon that was living under your trailer.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Get away from you, raccoons.
You just turned the raccoon into Swiper from Dora the Explorer.
Oh, man. He was a raccoon, wasn't he?
He was a fox, wasn't he?
I think maybe. I don't know.
I thought he was a fox.
I don't know. But I thought he had...
John, surely you have an opinion on this.
I have no opinions or nothing to say.
He had the bandana over his eyes, wasn't he?
I just thought he was just trying to be sneaky.
Swiper, right. Dora. Yeah, you're right. He is a fox.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
How about that?
Because he was all like orange and yellow, like a fox.
I was wrong.
Oh, man. We don't do enough Dora the Explorer references on the show.
Yeah, we do.
No, we don't.
It's going to be the new Seinfeld references, the Dora Explorer.
I don't think so.
Hey, we start singing songs about backpacks, you know who's taking over this show.
Mm-hmm.
Backpack, comb, paper handle. Backpack, comb. Paper handle.
That's good.
That Dora reference.
That's
great.
Man. Great stuff.
Your Pioneer Valley forecast today is going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 68. Tomorrow, cloudy with some rain showers, high of 72. It's 52 right now in downtown Springfield. I'm Steve Nagel, and that's the news on Rock 102. Aw, yeah.
Are you an experienced fuel?
It's 6:54 with Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102.
So I'm informed that the... catalytic converters have platinum in them. That's the metal they're being stolen for.
Really?
I don't know if the thief removes the platinum or just simply sells it to the scrapyard because the scrapyard knows that there's platinum in it and then gives them a certain amount of money for it. But, yeah, that's why they're stealing the catalytic converters. They were doing this a few years ago. It was out of a particular model of car, and... I don't know how many cars have catalytic converters in them now.
I have no idea. Maybe it's
just the Prius.
There's got to be a lot of money in stolen metals.
Sure.
Remember there was like a whole spate of thefts for copper?
Mm-hmm.
Well, even in town, like St. Michael's Church, they had a bunch of like copper flashing on their roof.
Yep.
And it was all stolen. Like someone was stealing copper off the roof of a church.
There's money in metal.
I understand there's money in metal, but you know, you got a special place in hell if you're stealing pieces of the roof off a church for a few bucks.
I don't know. That probably gets you a few extra bucks.
Well, of course, but you're stealing from a church. You understand the moral implications of that? I mean, I do. I mean, I can't be the only one thinking this.
Hey, look, it's not like you're turning in the head guy. You know, like some kind of Judas.
For
a few pieces of silver.
Not unless it's like an inside job, like you hang out with 12 dudes and one of them has a notion to put a few bucks in his pocket and start stealing the copper off the building.
A few pieces of silver.
Yes.
I'm turning in the boss.
Okay. I don't understand your reference at all.
I don't either. I haven't been to church in a while.
It's here's something for you. You know, Halloween is going to be different. You know, it's in Springfield. There's no trick or treating. There's no fun for the kids in Springfield. Halloween is going to be
how it should be.
Yes, but that doesn't mean you can't have fun and get all tricked out in a killer costume. You go to rock102.com and submit a photo wearing your favorite Halloween costume before Friday, October 30th at noon. We'll pick a winner at random who'll get treated to a Pacifico Grizzly cooler and a $100 Visa cash card. You get your Halloween on and maybe win some sweet-ass prizes from courtesy of Pacifico, Live Life Anchors Up, and Rock 102, Springfield's Classic Rock. So get cracking.
Today, apparently on Mass Appeal, is International Sloth Day. So they're going to have a sloth on the set. I didn't think there was anything at 22 that moved that slow since Barry retired.
All right. You know what? I am not going to have you compare Barry Krieger to a slow-moving marsupial.
I think that might be true.
It's 6:58 with Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102. GG.